भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 8, chapter number 11, entitled King Indra Annihilates the Demons. And today we're reading from text number 8. Tadidam kalarasanam jagat pasyanti surayah narishyanti nasochanti Tatra yuyam apandita. Tat, therefore, idam, this whole material world, kalarasanam, is moving because of time eternal. Jagat, moving forward, this whole universe. Pasyanti, observe. Surayaha, those who are intelligent by admission of the truth. Na, not. Rishyanti, become jubilant. Na, nor. Sochanti, lament. Tatra, in such. Yuyam, all of you demigods. Apandita, not very learned, having forgotten that you are working under eternal time. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Seeing the movements of time, those who are cognizant of the real truth neither rejoice nor lament for different circumstances. Therefore, because you are jubilant due to your victory, you should be considered not very learned. Purport. Bali Maharaj knew that Indra, King of Heaven, was extremely powerful, certainly more powerful than he himself. Nonetheless, Bali Maharaj challenged Indra by saying that Indra was not a very learned person. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna rebuked Arjuna by saying, Asochyanan vasochastvam pragyavadamscha bhashashe gatasunagatasumscha nanusochanti pandita. While speaking learned words, you are mourning for that which is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Thus, as Krishna challenged Arjuna by saying he was not a pandit or a learned person, Bali Maharaj is also challenged by King Indra and his associates. In this material world, everything happens under the influence of time. Consequently, for a learned person who sees how things are taking place, there is no question of being sorry or happy because of the waves of material nature. After all, since we are all being carried away by these waves, what is the meaning of being jubilant or morose? One who is fully conversant with the laws of nature is never jubilant or morose because of nature's activities. In Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Krishna advises that one be tolerant. Tam stitikshashva bharata. Following this advice of Krishna's, one should not be morose or unhappy because of circumstantial changes. This is the symptom of a devotee. A devotee carries out his duty in Krishna consciousness and is never unhappy in awkward circumstances. He has full faith that in such circumstances Krishna protects his devotee. Therefore, a devotee never deviates from his prescribed duty of devotional service. The material qualities of jubilation and moroseness are present even in the demigods, who are very highly situated in the upper planetary system. Therefore, when one is undisturbed by so-called favorable and unfavorable circumstances of this material world, he should be understood to be Brahma-bhuta or self-realized. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma-bhuta prasanna-atma na sochati na kankshati. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. When one is undisturbed by material circumstances, he should be understood to be on the transcendental stage above the reactions of the three modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I feel very fortunate to be here in Sri Vrindavan Dham and very appreciative to have the opportunity to share something. So with your permission and blessings, I'll try to speak something on this wonderful verse today from the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here Bali Maharaj is making a very strong point to Indra. Bali Maharaj is coming from a family of demons and Indra is a demigod. Nevertheless, we know that Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan. Balir Vayashikir Vayam. And therefore, Bali Maharaj can make a very, very strong statement, even to Indra. So here, in this verse, the very, very important word is apandita. Bali Maharaj is telling Indra, you are apandita. You're not a learned person. Although you have so much power, although you have so much influence, although you have so much learning, still you are not a learned person. Which is very interesting because it means knowledge is not enough to consider oneself a pandit. Even in the material world, Srila Prabhupada once said, you can have a BSc, an MSc, a PhD, and still be MAD. In other words, people in the material world, they have so much knowledge, but that does not make them a learned person. Like now, I was just reading a report that 50 years ago in schools in America, like schools where children learn their education, you know what the three biggest problems were in schools 50 years ago in America? They used to put chewing gum under the table. This was a big problem. The children used to talk to each other in class while the teacher is speaking, big problem. And sometimes the children used to cheat in exams. So these were the three biggest problems in American schools 50 years ago. You know the three biggest problems in American schools now? Teenage pregnancy. Physical assault of the teacher. And gun crime. Which is very interesting because education is so-called advancing, but what is the character of the people who are learning all these things? So here, Bali Maharaj is telling Indra, just because you have power and learning and influence, it does not make you a pundit. Krishna says the same thing to Arjun. Pragya vadams cha bhashashe. Arjun, you're speaking so many learned words. Nanu sochanti pandita. But you haven't understood the most basic thing. Therefore you are apandita. You are not a pandit. Learning and power is not enough to make one a pandit. Even we have the pastime of Balaram and Romaharshan Sutta, isn't it? Now, guru means heavy, isn't it? So Balaram is Adi Guru, so you can understand Balaram is very heavy. So when Romaharshan was speaking in Naimisharanya to all the sages sitting on the Vyasasan, and Balaram walked in, and everyone offered respect, but Romaharshan Sutta did not offer respect, then Balaram became very angry. Rishir Bhagavato Bhutva Shishya Bhutva Bitanicha. Oh, you, Romaharshan Sutta, you're a disciple of Vyasadev. Saitihasa Puranani Dharma Shastrani Sarvashaha. You're sitting on the Vyasasan, you've studied the Itihashas, you've studied the Puranas. You've studied the Dharma Shastras. You've basically studied every book that there is. But what's the result? Adantasya vinitasya. You have not learned self-control. You've not learned humility. Vrita panditamanina. But still you think you're a pandit. Nagunaya bhavanti sma. All of your study did not bring about any good qualities in your character. Natasyeva jitatmanaha. And therefore all of this speaking and all of this study is simply like an actor. Very heavy. In other words, Balaram says to Romaharshan Sutta, just because you speak nicely, just because you know so many things, it does not make you a pandit. Pandit means one who is learned. Pandit means one who has gyan, knowledge, but not just knowledge, also vigyan, realization. And when one has knowledge and realization, then there will be a change in their character. And when there is that change in character, that's what makes someone a real pandit. So here, Bali Maharaj is looking at Indra and he is saying that you don't have good character because you are becoming elated, now you're victorious, and then you will be defeated and you will become morose. You have no equanimity of mind, and therefore your character shows that actually you are not learned. If we look at the scriptures, then we may see that there are different measures by which we can understand who is a learned person. Here are a few for you to consider who is actually learned. And we can look in our own life and question, am I learned? In the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Iti matva bhajante mam. Buddha Bhava Samanvita. That if one is a Buddha, actually an intelligent person, then what is the result? Bhajante Mam. They're very enthusiastic to serve me. They fully engage their lives in devotional service. So here is another measure of who is learned. What is the level of my service attitude? How much am I eager to serve more than I am to enjoy? How much am I eager to find opportunities to do something for Krishna, to do something for the Vaishnavas? How much, when someone offers me service and I'm not able to do it, do I feel disappointed that I'm not able to do that service? According to the eagerness that one has for service, proportionate to that, they can be considered a learned person. So one measure of being a pandit could be one who actually desires service. In the 7th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. If one is a jnanavan, if one has a lot of knowledge, then what is the result of that knowledge that they want to? Surrender. Prapadyante. So then one can look at their life and say, how much am I surrendered? How much am I surrendered to Krishna's will? How much am I surrendered to the desires and the orders of Krishna and also the desires and orders of Krishna's representatives? How much do I still fight Krishna's plan for my life? That is also a measure of how much knowledge one is having. If we turn to the Bhagavatam, then we find another verse. Yagye sankirtaner prayer yajanti hi sumedashaha. So one who is sumedasha, sumedasha means very, very intelligent. What does such an intelligent person do? Yagye sankirtaner prayer. They dedicate their life to sankirtan. So then we can look at our life and say, how much of my life is dedicated to serving the holy name, chanting the holy name, sharing the holy name with others? We have so many faith in so many things in life, but how much faith do I have in the holy name of Krishna? Isn't it like Srila Prabhupada when he came off the ship, then he says, bhakti nahi, bedi nahi, khub naam daro. I have no knowledge, Krishna. I have no devotion. But one thing I have is strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. So then one could see, how much faith do I have in sankirtan? That is also a measure of how learned you are. Even we see the Bhagavad Gita, we see the Bhagavatam, even if we turn to Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we find another measure of who is learned. In Jagannath Puri, Sanatan Goswami goes to Haridas Thakur, and seeing Haridas Thakur, he glorifies him and he says, Achar prachar namer garahadui karya tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arya. He looks at Haridas Thakur and he says, you are the guru of the whole world. You are the most learned person. Why? Prachar, because you have so much knowledge and you share it with many people. But not just because you have prachar, but because you also have achar. You also have good culture. You also have good character. You also have good qualities. So then one can look at one's own sadachar, my own character. That is also a measure of how learned you are. When they ask Srila Prabhupada, how do you know who is a Vaishnav? Srila Prabhupada said, out of all of the things he could have said, he said, a Vaishnav is a perfect gentleman. So when we think of the word pandit, We should not just think of someone who knows a lot of knowledge. We should think of service, someone who has very deep service attitude. We should think of surrender, someone who is surrendered to the will of Krishna. We should think of Sankirtan, someone who is constantly absorbed in chanting the holy name and serving the holy name. And we should think of Sadachar, one who is having spotless character and who is actually having Vaishnava qualities. Then if one is having all of these things together, then they can be said to be a learned person. Otherwise, someone came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, I can recite the Bhagavad Gita in 45 minutes. And Srila Prabhupada said, but can you live it for 45 minutes? Then I'll be impressed. Just reciting it in 45 minutes, that's not impressive to me. But what is your life? Therefore we say a Vaishnava is not just what they do, but it's who they are as a person. That's what makes someone a Vaishnava. So here Bali Maharaj is saying to Indra, you are not a pandit, because your character is showing something different. Your character is showing that you have no equanimity of mind. Put your hand up if you have problems with equanimity of mind. We are going through so many ups and downs, good days and bad days. Sometimes in the space of one day, we even have good morning, bad afternoon. It just takes one small thing and our entire mental and emotional state is affected so easily. You could just be walking in the temple and one devotee just looks at you a little bit funny. And immediately is in there, in your mind now. So we are not having this equanimity of mind. But this equanimity of mind, and specifically tolerance, which Srila Prabhupada talks about in the purport, this is the most basic quality of a Vaishnava. If you look at the Bhagavad Gita, then in the first chapter, Krishna, he doesn't speak, only Arjuna is speaking. And then in the second chapter, Krishna begins to speak. So he gives some knowledge. But what is the first instruction that Krishna gives to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita? Does anyone know? Dehino smindyata dehe. That is the knowledge that Krishna gives to Arjuna, that you're not the body, you're the soul. But what is the first instruction that Krishna gives to Arjuna? Krishna tells Arjuna, Matra sparshastu konteya sitoshna sukadukada agama paino nityas tams titikshashva bharata. The first instruction that Krishna gives to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita is learn to tolerate. It's very interesting. This is the first thing that Krishna tells Arjuna, because unless one is able to learn tolerance, there is no question of spiritual life. And the proportion of one's tolerance actually is a measure of how much someone has advanced. In the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada writes, one's greatness is measured by their ability to tolerate provoking situations. So just look at our life and see, how much is my capacity to tolerate provoking situations and remain equal in mind. Therefore, tolerance is a big, big factor for a devotee. We know the famous pastime of Srila Prabhupada, who was often receiving reporters So once a group of reporters came, and there was one lady reporter, and she kind of just stood up and she said, "Swamiji, why do you shave your head?" So, I mean, it was a bit of a random question. Like, why do you shave your head? I mean, she could have asked a better question. So Srila Prabhupada looked straight back at her and said, "Why do you shave your legs?" So she wasn't expecting that one. And then she did not know how to reply. So Srila Prabhupada saved her. He said, "Don't worry. We prefer warm legs and a cool head. For spiritual life, you need a cool head." In other words, for spiritual life, you need a cool head of tolerance, because life is full of so many provocations. Another time, Srila Prabhupada was driving, they got stuck in a traffic jam, and there was a road sign. And the road sign said, "Roadworks, temporary inconvenience, permanent improvements." So Srila Prabhupada looked at the sign and he began laughing. And he said, "Material world means temporary improvements, permanent inconvenience." Because whatever you do in this world, it will always be inconvenient. So we know that there are so many miseries. Adhyatmika, miseries coming from our own mind, our own body. Adhibhautika, miseries coming from other people. Adhidevika, miseries coming from nature, coming from the fortunes and the karmic reactions of many, many lifetimes. So somehow we have to learn to tolerate all of these things. Because if we become too much affected by these waves of material nature, then we will not be able to focus on spiritual life. And in a worst case scenario, if we become too affected by the waves of material nature, we will also leave spiritual life. So first thing is, we have to tolerate our own mind. This is the biggest one. Just like the other day, we were on parikrama, so we were walking. And then anyway, we were walking, and then one of the locals, he shouted out, "Monkey seva, monkey seva." Isn't it? All the monkeys are there, and then you make a donation and then feed the monkeys. So he said, "Do some monkey seva." So we turned to one devotee and he said, "I've been doing monkey seva my whole life. I have been feeding the monkey of this mind. This mind is like a monkey." Niti Shastra says, "Markatasya surapanam." Imagine a monkey. Now imagine a monkey that's become completely drunk. Tatra vrishchika damsanam. Now imagine a monkey that's become completely drunk, that's also now been bitten by a scorpion. Tanmadhye bhuta samcharo. Now imagine a monkey, a restless monkey, that's completely drunk, that's been bitten by a scorpion and haunted by a ghost. Yadva tadva bhavishyati. Who can understand what this monkey will do next? Niti Shastra said, this drunk monkey, bitten by a scorpion and haunted by a ghost, is our own mind. Therefore, somehow we have to learn to tolerate whatever comes in the mind. Isn't it? Krishna says, "Apuryamanam achala pratistam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve shashanti mapnoti nakam kami." In the mind, so many desires are coming in. Just like rivers are entering into an ocean. But just as the ocean never overflows, The mind of the sage should never be affected by so many desires which are coming in. We don't need to act on every desire that comes into the mind. Therefore, Krishna says, Vittaraga bhaya krodha stita dhir muniruchate, that one who is free from this attachments, fear, anger, this is called the stage of the steady mind. So the first thing we have to tolerate is our own mind. Then we have to tolerate others. Because in the material world there will always be friction between individuals. And Srila Prabhupada said, even in the society of devotees, don't expect utopia. Because we are individuals, there may sometimes even be disagreements among Vaishnavas. But this should all be resolved in Krishna consciousness. So, tolerance is required. Just like the devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I just can't tolerate this devotee anymore. And Prabhupada said, you have to tolerate him just as I am tolerating you. So we think we're tolerating everyone, but everyone also has to tolerate us as well. So a devotee has no enemies. We should never feel enmity towards anyone. Like Prahlad says in the seventh canto, a devotee has no enemies. But then you think, no, but sometimes we do. People have enemies. But it's interesting, if you look at the Sanskrit, when Prahlad is referring to enemies, the Sanskrit word for enemy is pare. Now when you look at the word-for-word translation of pare, the meaning is an opposing element. So Srila Prabhupada calls an opposing element an enemy. So this is very interesting, because if one is actually Krishna conscious, then one will realize that whatever people are coming to me, good, bad, ugly, whatever they may do to me, ultimately it's all coming from Krishna. And ultimately it's coming from Krishna because his help is meant to help me get back to Krishna. Therefore, how can anyone ever be an opposing element? Because everyone is sent by Krishna. Even when they do things that you don't like, they are also sent by Krishna. So therefore there's no opposing element, and therefore there's no enemy. Therefore a devotee has no enemy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, when the actions of others bewilder you, then be patient, introspect, and find faults within yourself. Know that nobody can hurt you unless you hurt yourself. So everyone, we must see that everything, everyone around us is teaching us something. Even the people that criticize us, even the people that sometimes seem to be harming us, they are also sent to help us learn something. So therefore tolerance is required when dealing with others. And then when dealing with nature and our fortunes, tolerance is also required. A devotee sees that whatever situation I'm put in, ultimately is the best situation for me. If we were to put a show of hands, who in this room feels that right now your life is in exactly the perfect situation and you wouldn't change one thing at all? How many devotees would put their hand up? But that's the vision of a self-realized devotee. They look at their life and they realize, whatever is happening to me, every single thing is absolutely perfect. Because it's all sent by Krishna. So here Bali is saying to Indra, you're winning now and you think that's very good, but tomorrow if you lose, you'll be depressed. Therefore this is not a good state of mind to have. Whether in material happiness or material difficulty, always remain steady. Tolerate. Just like here we're in Vrindavan, and I was thinking the other day of Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada was here in Vrindavan in the late 50s. He had taken Vanaprast. He arrived in Vrindavan. He was alone. He had nothing. He wrote his Vrindavan bhajan, isn't it? The poem. It's a beautiful poem. Srila Prabhupada said, "I'm sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this situation, I'm getting many, many realizations. Krishna has shown me the naked form of the material energy. By His mercy, He has taken everything away from me. Where are all my family members gone now? All that is left of my family life is a long list of names." And then Srila Prabhupada writes, "This is misery." And then he writes, "But it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and in Vrindavan and I laugh. Who do I love in this Maya samsara?" So here was Srila Prabhupada in the late 50s in Vrindavan, alone, penniless. He had no means of support. At this time, Srila Prabhupada was printing Back to Godhead magazines. And sometimes he would go to Delhi for one day to sell some magazines. So one time, one of his godbrothers recalls, Srila Prabhupada had traveled to Delhi. And in the summer heat of Delhi, Srila Prabhupada was going door to door selling Back to Godhead magazines. So one time one of his godbrothers, Madhav Maharaj, sannyasi, he was going by bicycle in Delhi, and then he saw Srila Prabhupada at one home, knocking on the door with Back to Godhead magazines. So he thought, "Oh, that's very nice. He's going door to door distributing magazines." So then he rode off on his bike. 3 hours later, this Madhav Maharaj came back past the same house, and Srila Prabhupada was at the very same house. 3 hours later, in the Delhi heat, in the sun, just waiting outside this house. So he went up to Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Why are you still here?" Srila Prabhupada said, "This person in this house has promised me a 5 rupee donation and has promised to take one magazine, therefore I'm waiting here for them to come." So this Madhav Maharaj for 3 hours waiting here just to sell one magazine. The sannyasi said to him, "You know, here's 5 rupees, I'll give you 5 rupees. And then he looked at Srila Prabhupada with torn cloth, with practically no proper facility. He said, "You know what, I'll give you 10 rupees. You take 10 rupees. This was Srila Prabhupada, alone in Vrindavan with nothing. He took sannyas here in 1959. And as he was beginning to stay in Radha Damodar temple, then one other Gaudiya Math sannyasi said, "I had to go and give him a wool chadar because I thought if he doesn't have proper clothes, he'll freeze." This was Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan in 1959. Alone, no money, no support, no friends, no success, trying to preach. He wrote a letter to the Indian president, I think, and he said, "I'm crying alone in the wilderness. No one is listening to this message." But Srila Prabhupada was happy. There in Radha Damodar, he said, those were the very happy times. Now if you fast forward 12, 13 years, in 1971, Srila Prabhupada came back to Vrindavan. Now he had preached all over the world, so many temples, so many disciples. Srila Prabhupada came back to Vrindavan with many, many of his Western disciples, the World Sankirtan Party. And when Srila Prabhupada came back to Vrindavan with his disciples, he was received like a king. The Vrindavan municipality held a special welcoming for him. There was a big gathering of many eminent people. They sat Srila Prabhupada on a dais, they fanned him, they offered so much praise and eulogy. Srila Prabhupada was now a world acharya. And then Srila Prabhupada just left that place and he went to Radha Damodar in 1971 also, and he was right there back in the same rooms. In 1959, Prabhupada was there alone. And in 1971, he came back to the same place with so many disciples, so much success, but he was the same, happy. Krishna may sense success. Krishna may sense failure. Even on the Jaladuta prayer, Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna, you can make me a success or a failure as you wish. It's up to you. So in this way, a devotee has great tolerance. Regardless of the ups or downs, the happiness or distress, the difficulties that come, a devotee is always fixed, knowing that this is all the waves of material nature. And that ultimately our focus is Krishna, and our focus is to go beyond these modes of material nature. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So here in this verse, Bali Maharaj is saying to Indra, you think you're a learned person, but you're not a learned person because you don't have character. And the first character of a learned person is that they know how to tolerate. They're not affected by the ups and downs of life. So this is one meditation we can take away, that in the midst of life, let us not be affected by so many twists and turns of the material nature, but rather let us see that whatever comes is sent by Krishna to help us to become more fixed and more deeper in our spiritual understanding and in our own Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So there's a few minutes left if anyone has any question or comment or correction. Then I'm very happy to take that. Yes.
Thank you. Very good class. I appreciate the special the talk to about your explanation of Shilapa. And this what you say about opposing element, actually I have the understanding by when you look at Dharma, this idea of I don't like him, this idea of this one I don't like, goes away if you look at Dharma together with the devotees. And some realization may come that actually this what you think opposing element is not the person itself, it's something.
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. Very nice point. Yes, kirtan is the way to bring the Vaishnavas together. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that the devotees should come together every year in Mayapur, anywhere, and do kirtan together. One time he said there can be many meetings, many resolutions, dissolutions, and ultimately no solutions, therefore just chant the holy name of Krishna. So sometimes it's like that. If we actually want to come together on a deeper level, then we come together by keeping Krishna in the center, especially Krishna in the form of the holy name. So yes, if we see that ultimately, many difficulties between devotees are coming just because of some kind of misconception or misunderstanding in the mind. Like I tell you one story, one teacher was teaching the child maths. So he said, here is one apple And here is another apple. How many apples do you have? And the child said, 3. She said, no. Let's try again. Here's one apple. Here's another apple. How many? 3. He said, okay, here's one orange. Here's another orange. How many oranges do you have? 2. Great. Now here's one apple. Here's another apple. How many apples do you have? 3. And the teacher got so frustrated. And then the child said, no, but here in my bag, I also have one apple. So what happens with devotees is that we become very frustrated by some external thing that we're seeing. But we don't know what is the deeper story behind it. What is the hidden story? Why are they like that? Why are they doing like that? Sometimes, as I said, we walk and then one devotee looks at us funny and we take it very personally. But maybe they're just going through some very difficult time in their life. Nothing to do with you, but in your mind you think it's me. Therefore, oftentimes we must look beyond the externals and see what the hidden story is. But ultimately the best way, as you mentioned, is to come together by chanting the holy names together. Because then what the holy name does is it carries you very, very high. So when your vision is very, very high, then all the problems on the ground level, they don't look so big anymore. But when you are on the ground level and you have not elevated your consciousness, then all the disagreements look very big. So therefore, the ultimate resolution is everyone has to rise higher in consciousness. And the best way to rise higher in consciousness is the holy name, because kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyata. There's no other way.
Thank you very much. I would like you to speak a little bit on the character of being happy, because here in this verse we hear that somebody does become joyful for some purpose and it does not happen. But Atmaramas, that means that he is happy inside. So sometimes we can fall into two like holes. One hole could be being morose.
Yes.
And the other one to pretend being happy.
Yes.
So could you please speak what does mean this inner happiness for you?
Yes. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that one must learn to tolerate distress. So that makes sense, tolerate distress. Then Krishna says you also have to tolerate happiness. Now, it's an interesting statement. Tolerate happiness? Why would you want to tolerate happiness? But Krishna says, yes, tolerate material happiness. Because material happiness comes and goes. In the Gita, Krishna says, Yehi samsparsha jaboga dukkha yona ya eva te. Dukkha yoni. Yoni means the womb, and dukkha means unhappiness. So within material happiness, material distress is impregnated within it. Therefore, if you take material happiness and embrace it, then you are also embracing the pain that is pregnant within it as well. Therefore, Krishna says, tolerate distress and tolerate happiness. Material distress and material happiness. But a devotee is always joyful, is always happy, but on what level? The spiritual level. Therefore, Krishna again says in the Gita, susukam kartum avyayam, that this process is joyfully performed. So therefore Prabhupada said, if you see a devotee and he is morose, then you can immediately understand he must be in Maya. Because a devotee cannot be morose, must be happy. One time they had a picture of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was looking very, very serious. So one devotee said to Prabhupada, oh Srila Prabhupada, you look very serious in this photo. Prabhupada said, this was the greatest ecstatic moment that they took my photo. So we may not understand through the external Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyayana Bhujoya. You cannot understand externally what a Vaishnava is feeling. But internally a Vaishnava is always happy. And that happiness is the essence of devotional life. Prabhupada said, preaching is an easy thing. Just show people how happy you are. It's an easy thing. Just show people how happy you are. You don't have to tell people so much amazing things. Just show them how happy you are. So that is a devotee. A devotee is happy, always joyful. Premananda Sukhi. Therefore, we're praying that let me have that happiness of Nityananda Prabhu. That is spiritual life. So yes, we came here for happiness. So then if we come for happiness and then we're morose, then something's wrong. So yes, tolerate material happiness, but experience spiritual happiness. That is the resolution. Hare Krishna. So maybe we'll finish there. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Please forgive any mistakes. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki, Sri Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. Hare Krishna.